This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Welcome to another episode of Press One for Nick. Your host, Nick Limsdahl, is the Director of Contact Center Solutions at VDS. Through conversations with customer service and customer experience leaders, Nick and his guests exchange insightful stories, best practices, and invaluable lessons they have learned along the way.
Welcome to the Press One for Nick podcast. My name is Nick Limsdahl. My guest this week is Josh Halpern. He's the CEO of Shaquille O'Neal's own Big Chicken. He's a proven growth strategist and who has accelerated brands within the restaurant and retail sector for Anheuser-Busch InBev, Clorox, P&G, and other Fortune 500 companies. Josh Halpern is at the helm of the Big Chicken franchising initiative, working closely with Shaquille O'Neal and Big Chicken's ownership group, representing to expand the brand presence. I'm looking forward to the conversation. Josh, welcome to the Press One for Nick podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So Josh, the first question I have for you is, you've been in a whole lot of industries. What made you transition, or why did you transition to that restaurant business?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't get asked it a lot. It's being the last 10 years in the beer business, one of the things that you quickly start to realize is the restaurant industry is the original social network, right? Long before there was Facebook, long before there was Twitter, long before there was Instagram, you were going down to the pub to have a couple pints with your friends and see what was going on, right? And I love that. Fact, when I ran the on-premise at Anheuser-Busch, I genuinely loved being in the restaurants and the bars. I genuinely loved working with the staff, with the understanding that, you know, staff don't necessarily view themselves to be our employees. They view that they're their own personal brand and that they're doing a brand collaboration with us. And, you know, as a result, they're choosing which brands make the most sense for them to be a part of. And I love knowing that, you know, every major celebration, every major meal, every kid's graduation, everything, you're going to a restaurant and being on this side of the table, the restaurant side of the table, because I am an extrovert with hospitality in his heart. I get to be a part of those moments, those intimate moments that guests have, that employees have, that you really think about in terms of how it betters your life.
So I love that. It immediately brings to mind is the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And I think that is exactly the mentality that you're saying is when you go into these bars and restaurants, it's the relationships that you're building. It's the brand that you're building, even within Big Chicken and the collaboration. I love the collaboration part, because I think what a lot of people fall short on is the brand of their personal brand and then how that aligns with the organizational brand to raise all boats. And one of the biggest brands out there in the marketplace is Shaquille O'Neal. So what a cool opportunity that you have working with him. How did that collaboration come about?
Yeah, so when I was at Anheuser-Busch, I partnered with, he's like a silent investor in his agent's restaurant group, JRS Hospitality, and they own Beer Park by Budweiser on the Las Vegas Strip at the Paris Hotel. They were the Beer Park side. I was the By Budweiser side, right? So in 2015, Perry Rogers, who's Shaquille's agent in the RNJRS, and Shaquille actually came and visited me at the Budweiser Brewery in St. Louis, Missouri. And we started to lay out the plans for Beer Park, which today does, you know, an insane amount of sales at the Paris Hotel, one of the largest beer-led restaurants in the United States. And we just had such a great working relationship, Perry, Shaquille, and I, through that experience that, Perry and I think we always intuitively knew at some point we'd figure out another way to do something again together.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what's the, you went from Big Chicken, where, how long has it been going on and what's that growth to date?
Yeah, I've been with Big Chicken now like almost 2.25 years. The company will hit its 5-year anniversary in November. So, you know, we're effectively like a preschooler, but we're a preschooler growing very, very rapidly, right? So we're approaching 300 units under franchise development, which is kind of crazy. We have 23 open. So, you know, I've worked hard my entire career. I think I've never worked harder, longer, had more sleepless nights than I have right now. But it's because we have really great food. Our chefs, Matt Silverman and Matt Pikarski, who were the culinary co-founders with Shaquille, put together an unbelievable product. You mentioned some of it earlier. And, you know, Shaquille is Shaquille. And when you take really, really great food and a really incredible brand presence in Shaquille, and you get your business processes right, and you come from the stance that I come from, 20 years as a supplier, that the whole industry needs to win, right? The guests need to win. They need the best food and service. The franchisee needs to win. They need great unit level economics, and they need a clear, transparent, you know, ecosystem with their franchisor. Suppliers need to win. All of our suppliers need to be able to communicate with us, forecast with us, show us innovation. And Big Chicken needs to win. Everyone in our corporate entity needs to win. So you get great food, great brand ambassador and presence, and where with a built on his values, and just this view that the whole ecosystem needs to win, and you can move very, very quickly. People want to be a part of the growth engine.
Yeah, and growing, that's not just a small, it's a significant growth strategy that you guys have. You said the 30 plus going on 300. You know, as a leader in the space, how are you taking Big Chicken and making sure that it's not compromising on the quality and the value and the customer service throughout that journey?
Yeah, it's a lot of things, right? That could have been our one and only question, right? So I'll try to be concise. on the quality side, we work directly with every supplier that we have, right? So we are not like, hey, Mr. Broadline Distributor, show me what products you have. You know, I knew a lot of suppliers prior to getting here from being on the IFMA board. The company had relationships with suppliers because, you know, Matt Silverman and his culinary team, they manage $100 million worth of restaurants in Vegas on the JRS side. So you put the two together, we're able to talk directly with our suppliers in order to make sure our quality is right, right? We over-invest in training. We will send people back out to the stores. We want to make sure that every store is set up to win and that they know the exact way to make our chicken, the exact way to make our fries, our milkshakes, et cetera. And then we're able to measure all that through a few different ways. We use a tool called Ovation, which guests can leave reviews on. And then we're able to see reviews, good, bad, and ugly in real time. We have a quality audit process, and we have a secret shopper process. So we're able to get feedback in a lot of different ways. One of our core principles is continuous improvement, right? So we don't really let minor setbacks get us down. It's just, all right, how do we get it better for next time? How do we do better tomorrow? How do we do better in 3 months, 6 months? How do we continue to push the bar so that we could be the biggest and best chain there is?
Yeah, and I think you guys are definitely up there. I had the opportunity to try Big Chicken about 2 or 3 months ago, and it was one of the best chicken sandwiches I've had, not just at fast or fast casual. It was solid, and the fries are super thin, but they're creative and really good. And like you mentioned earlier, the cookies are the size of an NBA basketball, which is no joke. The kiddos love that. When it comes to that guest experience, you're playing that fine line between, you know, there's so many other guests, or there's so many other food options out there. So how are you building that loyalty, both from the guest experience and from your team?
Yeah, so the number one thing we believe in, because it's what Shaquille believes in, we go for big fun every single day. You know, if you're not having fun in this business, you're kind of messing it up, right? Which is why we have a big cookie, the circumference of an NBA basketball, where that kid looks at it and says, man, I want that, right? And number one sales location on that cookie, I believe, is our Kansas City airport, right? Because, you know, I think a lot of parents are like, I'm going home to my kids. I'm bringing them this cookie as a souvenir. They'll forget real fast I've been gone, right? On business or whatnot. So, you know, we look at big fun and we're constantly saying, how do we do little things to increase big fun? You know, our Valencia, California franchisee kicked off a program last year where, you know, we gave every kid a huge kind of celebratory, you finish the school year certificate, come on in for a free kids meal sort of a thing. We've done foosball tournaments. We literally had Kamaru Usman, one of the top UFC fighters in the world, who's a big chicken fan, come in and like literally man the register for 30 minutes and shock the heck out of our guests. And then we shocked him by having Shaquille drop by and place an order with him, right? Kamara had no idea we were doing that. And then the final piece is, you know, part of that big fun is Big Dream. And, you know, we reached out to Blue Origin and said, hey, we know it's going to be 50 to 100 years before space tourism is really a thing, even though it's starting now. You know, look, 100 years ago, commercial aviation wasn't a thing either. And now look at us, right? But wouldn't it be incredible to kind of look at this and say, hey, someday there will be a restaurant in outer space. A lot needs to be figured out, right? Could be 80 years to do it. But it, how cool would it be if that first restaurant was a Blue Origin on a Blue Origin space shuttle with Big Chicken? And now we're going to partner with their Club for the Future and really start to talk, you know, to kids about, well, what needs to happen in order for that to someday be a reality, right? Big fun all the way. With our employees, we try to keep it fun as well. Even recently, we were given feedback, you know, hey, you don't have enough music, something as small as music on your playlist. So we're hearing the same songs every single day. So we got with our music provider and changed it, right? It took us under a week to change it. Again, it comes back to continuous improvement. And if we have the continuous improvement mindset and every day we strive for big fun and big dreams, it's really hard to steer away from true north.
Yeah, well, it's definitely my experience was you had great people to start. And that was my first impression. And not only was it good food, but it was a great atmosphere. So whatever you guys are doing, the experience is top notch. So keep that up. When it comes to that, back to that guest experience, there's I'm an old millennial. The good old, I think people call me the Oregon Trail millennial, where I'm on the bleeding edge. But there's a lot of different generations that you're trying to work with and to create that unique experience, and all of them have unique expectations. And so how do you align your brand at Big Chicken with the preferences and values of completely different generations?
Yeah, there's a lot that we're working on behind the scenes, and we have a loyalty program that's going to drop in the next, you know, 4 to 8 weeks, something like that, that's really going to try to get at customized loyalty based on generation and based on cohort because of what you just said, you know, and it's something I've been very, very vocal on in the past. You know, we have a couple issues in the restaurant business right now. The first one is a universal issue, and that's, you know, I am a young X, so we're probably just a few years apart from each other. The only real difference between my generation and my parents' generation is I didn't need to be worried about getting drafted into a war. And I had 13 channels growing up where my parents had 5, right? And if you think about it, not too much else changed, right? Like I had compact discs, they had records and cassettes. It's really just a different vehicle. It didn't really change, right? And then you fast forward, if you are an older millennial, you were probably towards the end of college when Facebook launched, right? So you went through all of high school and a good chunk of college without Facebook. And all of a sudden that's now the social network, right? And just 4 years later, you know, you have the iPhone come out, and now it's no longer a flip phone. Now I have all the content right at my fingertips. So that's if you're a middle millennial. If you're a later millennial, you got to college with an iPad, right, which completely changed everything. And you were more Instagram, where the earlier millennial was Facebook, right? And then you go into Gen Z, where Gen Z started with the metaverse concept and Roblox and, you know, all of these sorts of things. And Gen Z looked at millennial and said, we really don't like you guys. We're way more pragmatic because the world let us down in 2008. So we're going to be more pragmatic, and we want to be a little bit more hands-on, and we want to build with brands. And then now you have Gen Alpha coming up, where they're saying the number one group that influences us is our friends. And we're not overly impressed by the spokesperson on TV. We would rather watch guys like Mr. Beast and these major YouTube influencers, which is where we watch our content. And the reason why I say all of this is because it becomes very, very clear. If you are targeting one generation, you inevitably lose everybody. And if you play for a least common denominator, you will be viewed as not authentic. Right?
Yeah.
In a competitive market, does your customer service stand out from the crowd? One way to offer a better experience is by moving your contact center to the cloud. But with so many options to choose from, How do you know which solution is the best for both your business and your customers? That's where VDS comes in and guides you to the best solution. They understand your clients' pain points, business outcomes, and goals. Then VDS designs, implements, supports, and provides 24/7 managed services. From start to finish, VDS is committed to finding the best solutions for your clients' needs. To learn more, go to www.govds.com or find a link in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a fine line. You got to pay attention to everybody, and you don't want to be an inch thick and a mile wide, but you still want to be able to provide that experience and listen and act based off of those generations.
Sure. And there are some universal truths, right?
Yeah.
We will always love good food. No matter what generation you're in, you will love good food, and you will always more or less be social, right? And the notion of a meal will more or less be either a social construct or a convenience-based construct. Right? Those things are universal truths across generations. And then the struggle that we have as marketers is all restaurant loyalty to date, it's really geared up against whose credit card submitted the order or whose cell phone submitted the order. But, you know, most of us that have kids would say, look, when it comes to fast food, it's really my kids who determine where we're going. Like, no parent is sitting there going, we're doing this fast food chain, not that fast food chain. It's, hey, we're doing fast food. What do you guys want? Right. But the, you know, and I shared the story quite a bit. I, you know, there's four fast casual burger chains in my town. And my oldest son is adamant that we only go to one of them. Right. Because that's where all of his friends go. That's where the most popular kid in the grade said, this is his. And I don't feel too bad for the other three chains because, like, he's sixth grade going into seventh. The eighth graders going into ninth, they're entirely with a different chain, right? So the problem though is, you know, I put in my credit card, right? So I put in my credit card. We ate at this chain 18 times in the last year, right? So I'm a really loyal guest to this chain, right? And I keep getting served advertisements to get major discounts at like noon, Monday to Friday, right? Because I've never once eaten there noon, Monday to Friday. Because I would have never eaten there without my kids, right? Yeah. But to them, it's a 44-year-old man is their target consumer, not a 11-year-old boy, right? So we need to do a little better and just recognize their shoppers and consumers. This is something very different, you know, that I bring from the consumer products area. Shopper's the guy with the credit card. The consumer's the one who wants the sandwich, right? And I am hellbent on getting closer to the consumer in the loyalty-based marketing things that we do. Sorry, long answer, but I think
it's an amazing answer. I think we could have just sat on that question. But so how are you finding that data and then making that an actionable item?
Yeah, so perfect example, right? Your kid isn't going to have their own credit card. So by definition, your kid will not have their own loyalty profile, right? That's a standard restaurant definition, right? As we launch our loyalty program, though, we're going to allow for parents to add their kids into their loyalty profile and work with us on how the kid can interact with us in terms of a loyalty thing. So one of the key things that we're working on right now is the ability for on your birthday for Shaquille to actually send you a text singing happy birthday, right? Now, I may not want Big Chicken to know my son's name, his school, his full date of birth, his social, you know, all the other things we ask.
Yeah.
But I'd have no problem saying his birthday is September 27th, putting that in my profile and then allowing, you know, Shaquille to text him, right? And I think that's one of those kind of really interesting places where we have the ability to form a cool, fun human connection with our guests and get them super excited. And then there's just little things too, like coloring pages. You know, because we're fresh to order, it's a 7 to 8 minute ticket time normally. If you're a 5-year-old kid, 7 to 8 minutes might as well be 3 days, right? So the ability to give the little 2 or 3 pack crayon with a coloring page that's really on brand with Big Chicken, with a fun word search and a cartoon photo of Shaquille or whatever it is. These things are the little things that go big way in driving people's heart. And that's really what we want to do. We want to connect with people deep and primally into their heart.
Yeah, it's definitely a compounded experience. I mean, it will happen over time, and those little moments add up to the big experience. So I appreciate that. And I like the section of sending a quick text, even if it's Shaquille O'Neal sending the happy birthday, because it is something that you can control. There's a lot of things that somebody would say, I can't do that because of I'm not going to give my kids social or blood type or last for the street they grew up on, but I will give them the four digit amount that show them their birthday. That's a control, but you can do to differentiate on that experience where a lot of people won't take that next step.
Yeah. And look, if we got feedback, I don't want to give you the full date, the month end date. Well, can you at least give us the month? Right. Yeah. And then it's all right. It's your birthday month. Happy birthday from Shaquille, right? Whatever that looks like. It's just those little things. How do you create big smiles through little actions?
Yeah, I love that. So bringing it back internally with your team, how do you go about fostering trust within Big Chicken?
Oh, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm not a command and conquer sort of guy, right? It's a round table. We have the ability, it's something Shaquille says all the time. You need to trust that people will play their position with excellence, right? And you need to be there when a member of your team raises their hand and says, I need help. And if you can do those things, trust will naturally foster. I'm not a political person, right? Like there's not a office politics. It's the singularity of focus is how do we drive all of our KPIs in a way that's guest-centric so that the guest wins, the franchisee wins, the supplier wins, and Big Chicken wins. And if anybody is pointing towards a loss for one of those four groups, I don't need to be the aggressor, right? The entire team is going to say, no, that doesn't work because that won't be good for this group and we're not going to do those things.
Yeah. And I grew up watching Shaquille O'Neal and how cool was it when on the championship teams that he was on, there was times where not only him or Kobe or somebody else would pass and it'd be a no look pass because they know exactly where that person was in the place that they were at to deliver on that ultimate goal. And I think there's a lot that can align with athletics and any industry for that matter. And if you play your role in the game or your role on the team, you're going to differentiate and you're going to know exactly what that person's role is, how you're going to communicate with the customer, how you're going to communicate with each other in front of the customer and away from the customer. And there's going to be a lot of no-look passes.
No doubt about it. Look, when you change from I to we, illness becomes wellness, right? And if you want to execute with wellness, and if you want wellness for your employees, wellness for your guests, wellness for everybody, it has to start with a collective we.
That was good. I'm stealing that, Josh.
It's Malcolm X randomly, but I'll at least, I saw the surprise in your eyes when I said it. So I'm going to go with it.
That was good. I'm going to put Malcolm X and then put AKA Josh Halpern.
Please don't do that, but all good. All good.
Just kidding. No. So, inside, I saw online that you wrote an article and you mentioned that unlocking time is crucial for building culture. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in the beer business, I started with a company that was in just rough shape after I left Anheuser-Busch. And, you know, one of the things we learned when I was at Anheuser-Busch and then I brought it over to this company is people get really bogged down in details that don't help them drive performance, right? They will, you know, you get into these meetings and it's accidental, right? Cultures don't deliberately lock themselves up, right? But, you know, you say, hey, Nick, are you around for a meeting 1 to 2 on Tuesday to talk this? And then, hey, Dave wants us to meet at 9 a.m. Wednesday to talk that. And we need this meeting at 1 p.m. And the next thing you know, you have no time to actually be out where all the action happens. You have no time to be in the restaurants. You have no time to be in the factories. You have no time to be wherever, because you're locked down in all of these meetings, right? So one thing that I continue to try to do as much as humanly possible is push as many meetings as possible to Mondays and Fridays, right? Because if that gives me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to be out in the market, to be with our franchise partners, to be with wherever, our suppliers, to be at an industry conference, whatever that looks like, it opens up time for me to be externally focused, right? Nobody's ever said, I've sat in the ivory tower for the last year and I know exactly what's going on the shop floor, right? Can't happen. So we really try to preach, hey, let's unlock our time, right? Let's make sure that we're not having unnecessary meetings. If we need to meet Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, does it really need to be an hour? Can it be 30 minutes? Can it be 15 minutes? Because you don't want someone to say, I have all these meetings on Wednesday, so I'm not going to go do this important thing that will help the company moving forward.
So I love that. I had the opportunity to interview Jim Donald. He was the at one time CEO of Starbucks. He is also on the board chair at Albertsons. And he said that every single location that he's been at, he decided not to go in that ivory tower. He would be on the front line and he would be traveling. And he'd be doing, I think, you know, a 30-second live with Jim Donald, and it would go through his intranet, and he would say where he was at, the people that he was talking to, and the problems that they were solving. And he was lifting these people up along with them, but he was looking at the front line because he's like, those are the ones who are doing the work. So why am I not paying attention to these guys? So it sounds
especially
like you're doing
fast food, right? Attrition is high. Morale overall in the industry is tough, right? You need to be on the positive side of the ledger in everything that you do.
So one of the contributions to success inside your organization is franchises. I think they are very important. So how, I know you guys opened, what, 11 months ago, the first franchise in Springboro, Ohio, is that right?
Yeah, in Miamisburg, yeah.
Yeah, Miamisburg, yeah. So how do you establish a clear and capable and transparent ecosystem, like you mentioned prior, to foster that continuous improvement that you mentioned also to ensure that success of that franchise?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to continue to evolve over time. You know, right now we have six franchise groups with open stores. You know, with six, we could be on the phone with them every single week, every single day, right? Constantly in communication, someone from my company. When you have 60 franchises, it gets harder, right?
Yeah.
You know, but we do jump on regular calls with all the open stores. We jump on a monthly with the entire system. You know, we're constantly trying to put out information, tips, hacks. We're looking right now at a couple training platforms now that training is really starting to become gamified. Probably an announcement in the next, we'll call it 2 or 3 months on where we're headed there. But that will give us the ability to have continuous loop feedback with everybody. And then the measurement stuff that we talked about earlier, the different audits and secret shopper surveys and those things, because it's a really hard thing to do. If you're not very crystal clear in who you are and who you want to be and what's the ecosystem that the franchisee is signing up for, you can't get upset when their translation of it is a little different, right? So it's going to be a work in progress. It is for every culture that there is, right? It's not a unique challenge to Big Chicken. We're just going to continue to pursue getting better at it.
So what are you most excited about 12 months from now? What are you hoping to accomplish with Big Chicken?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, our heads are so down, just running, right? It will be amazing if 12 months from today, you know, you and I are talking again and I'm able to lift up and see what happened. I think ultimately, you know, if we could continue to get the reviews we're getting online with our guests while at the same time having great unit level economics for our franchisees, the business will build itself, right? And it's, you know, one of my favorite business books out there. I was handed it, I was like 26 years old and the book had just come out. So it was a while ago, but it was, it's True North by Bill George, right? And the whole point of the book is, you know, all of us follow our clock to some degree, which is, you know, hey, I want to be at X number of units by this date. I want to make this much money by this date. You know, I want to be a CEO by the time I'm age, whatever. And when you think about it, when you run your life that way, it's actually a little sad, right? Because you don't appreciate the journey. And Bill George in his book really talks about following your compass instead. My compass is pretty clear, you know, and pretty clean, right? And it's, if we are driving an ecosystem where everybody wins every day, we continue to be inspired to continuously improve, and we continue to build Big Chicken on the back of Big Fun, this will be the organization that I'm very, very proud to lead. And I would love nothing more than 12 months for today for this to be a much larger organization, still executing the heck out of those three points, and we'll be in really great shape.
That's awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're up to over the next 12 months. And for all of my listeners who are within a driving distance of Big Chicken. Go try it out. Let us know what you guys think. But looking forward to your success that you're going to have. Stay true north and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Hey, listeners, can you think of one person who would benefit from the information you learned today? If so, please consider sharing this episode with them. And last, if you would like to receive all the quotes and book recommendations from all my guests, you can go to pressonefornick.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Press One for Nick. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and share. Until next time, focus on your customers.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.